We're going to start from Acts chapter 7, which of course is Stephen, and we're still going along some of the lines that that we've discussed before, or at least presented. And Acts 7, verse 26 through 33. And, you know, this is Stephen talking, and he is presenting the things that he's heard from God. And one of the things that I kind of got out of this in relationship to Stephen was, and you can see it through many scriptures. We may go through a lot of scriptures, I don't know. Is this thing of running from, you know, fire, running from the fire, whatever the trouble is, you know, whatever the situation is that we would call, well, it's fire, you know, we want to get out of it, and we want to get out of it either by us using our own abilities or pray to the Lord to get us out of it. But I want us to take a little bit different look of that. So reading in Acts chapter 7, verse 26, this is talking about Moses, and this is Stephen talking about Moses. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again. Would have set them at one again. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? You know? I mean, we're not just, you know, getting along. We're one. We're not just trying to be cordial. God help us if that's all we're trying to do is be cordial. We're one. And so Moses, who God eventually after this, it'll be another 40 years after this, will want to choose Moses to lead his people. Because even though it didn't happen here, the reaction was different. That was his heart, and that was his motivation. And it would have made them one again, saying, "Sirs," so he's even polite, "ye are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying. All right, so there's this example of a situation. You could call it strange fire, you could call it whatever. But it's a situation where he's trying to do right, and then people turn on him, and then he's attacked, and then he realizes it's more than an attack. This could end his life, since he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter and all that kind of stuff. So let's see. So, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and read this, but I want to read the Exodus account also, because it brings in a certain point. Two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, "I am the Lord God of thy fathers, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." Okay, so I want to read the Exodus account because it brings in one particular point that kind of explains some of the other scriptures. So this is Exodus chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 2. And it's going to sound basically, it's going to sound similar. But again, listen, if you will, to see the difference here. Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? Do you think this might be significant to the story? in the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Wherefore, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. All right. So, obviously, there's flame involved here. There's fire involved here. Appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. And it burned with fire, but it was not consumed. And Moses intentionally turned aside because there was something more than just, oh, maybe lightning hit this bush or something like that. There was something more that was drawing him. And it says, I will now turn aside to see this great sight. This great sight. And when this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord saw that he didn't stay on his path, he didn't stay, you know, leading or following the sheep or whatever he might be doing in this wilderness of Midian, he turned aside to see what this was. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Okay, and said, Moses, Moses. Usually if God repeats your name, you're in trouble. Y'all know that. At least that's the way it was with my mom. Or calls you, adds your middle name in. Randy Nussbaum, Randy Thomas, that's what it was. If I knew the Bible back then, I would have just said, well, I was born to doubt, you know, doubting Thomas. Never mind. And said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. So God is marking this as a holy sort of situation. This is not just God decided, well, I think I'll show up in a bush, you know. I think I'll show up in a, you know, some sort of a scrub brush or something. There was something in God's appearance, and there was something that I think Moses did not understand at that moment, but he was drawn to it. Moreover, this verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. All right. So the true God presents himself as that which is in a state of destruction. It's a bush on fire. that which is in a state of destruction, and yet it doesn't burn up. It doesn't get destroyed, but it is definitely in a state of destruction. You could say, you know, well, I won't say that yet because I'll say it in a minute. But so this is what was interesting to him and should be interesting to us if we're going through our life and then we bump into somebody, you know, that we know that's a Christian, and we're talking to them, and they start telling us all the fire they've been through recently, but they didn't get destroyed by it. We should turn aside and check it out. And I know that probably most, if not all of you, have done that at least one time. But we're looking for more than one. We're looking for this God who appears as in a burning bush that is supposed to destroy it and is not destroying. And he calls himself, this is the God of gods, you know, I am the God of Abraham, the God. I'm the one that your fathers met. You know, I mean, would you kind of go, you look like a bush on fire to me or something, you know? But that's who I am. That's who I am. No, he's not a bush on fire. He is that which is should be destroyed, and yet this God is not destroyed. Let's see. Let me try to think of an example of that in the scripture. Maybe we'll just go with the cross. All right. So now let's turn to the book of Daniel. And you're familiar with this, but there are things that I want to bring out that maybe you've not heard before, especially in light of this, okay? Especially in light of what we're talking about. This is in Daniel chapter 3. And I don't know what all verses I'm going to read because I don't want to spend all my time reading over and over and over the sackbut, the dulcimer, those instruments of music. I mean, it says it like 50 times or something, or it feels like 50 times. So I'm going to try to weave my way through here. Okay, this is talking about the three Hebrew children, and of course we know they were adults, but that's what they've been called throughout history. So Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." Now remember that this is Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and he has called all the nations that he's conquered, which is basically the whole world, all of the nations that he's conquered together to come worship this idol, his idol. But it's an idol or an image, all right? So basically, when you hear the music, "Whoso falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time, this is verse 8, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever.'" I don't think it's going to happen. pretty sure he's going to die eventually, but you know. "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all those instruments of music shall fall down and worship the golden instrument. Whosoever falleth not down after hearing all that music shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So Nebuchadnezzar calls him to him, and he's upset. Verse 15. So he's talking to him. Now, if you be ready that at the time when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and could I just rest for a minute? If you're ready, here's what he's saying. If you're ready, you know, I mean, these guys have accused you, and everybody here in all of these nations that I have conquered, meaning the whole world, is going to worship this one image, then if you change your mind now, I won't throw you in the fiery furnace. See how sweet he is? He's giving him an out. If you want to change your mind right now, well, you know, that way everybody of all nations believes in and honors this image. And if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And I want you to notice the words, able to deliver us. Very important, because you may have latched on too early. is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. All right. So then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. All right. Full of fury. He was upset. You know. So he says this, let's see, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was heated up to that point. So he's full of fury, and he is laying it out. That fury is coming out in the form of seven times hotter. You think you were in hot water? This is going to be bad. All right. So he goes. So they cast him in the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them in there. So the king's men, I'm sure they're hefty boys, you know, come here, you skinny Jews. We're going to take care of you. They burned up, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, as Zeke said, pop them in. All right. Middle of verse 23, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? In the midst of the fire. They answered and said unto the king, true. Or as Mike Gentry would say, true that. True that. That's what he says. That means it's really true. When Mike says that, you'll know. See? And So true dat, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. All right. So this whole story is about all of us having a certain image that we agree with. That we all agree with the same image. But you see, we're all supposed to grow up into Him in all things, but our growth is going to be at different stages. We're not all going to grow at the same... Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm not going to do that. So, but in God's heart, it's His own image. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us. They're coming together. Creation is done, but man and woman is not made yet. And He says, let us make them in our own image and after our likeness. All right, so it's all about this certain image that you have to fall in line with. So they wouldn't worship the world image, remember, because all these nations were there. They wouldn't worship the world image. But as yet, they did not know the image of their God. They didn't know that image. Okay. They believed in Him. They were with Him, but they didn't know that image. So I wrote down the three would not honor the world image, but they did, but partially they did not know the image of God yet. The issue to the world when the king set it up and said, you know, he could have said, okay, you know, y'all bring whatever idols or whatever you want to worship, or your view of Christ crucified, or your view of this or that, and it'll all be okay, and we'll just go with that. But he didn't. He said, whoever doesn't go with this image is going to go into the fire. And nobody wants to go into the fire. And nobody wants to look like an outcast. Nobody wants to stay in the fire. Okay? And that is a problem. It is. It's a problem. All wanted to avoid or get out of the fire. The three would no longer be, once they're thrown in there, they would no longer be just faithful. We put a higher premium on being faithful, but there's so much more to being faithful. It is more directed to wanting to be in His image. So they go, let's see. They would see the image, finally. They would see the image of God, His image, which is to go into death and yet never be destroyed by it. They went into death. They went into the fire, the fiery furnace, the fiery bush, however you want to say it. Out of the fiery bush, God's sitting there in a burning bush that's not destroying Him, saying, I am. If you could, you know, you're talking to a bush, Abraham, or Moses. You're talking to a bush here. You know, can you imagine some of his herding friends or whatever? They're herding the sheep, and they're going, dude, you know, too much sun and not enough S-O-N. So, in the fiery furnace, they see the image of God. They experience the image of God. And they are experiencing in there where they couldn't have gotten it anywhere else, they are experiencing a new heaven and a new earth. They are. Nothing like that in basic earth life. It was a new heaven and a new earth. So, let's talk about 2 Peter then. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. So this is, now many of you are really familiar with 1 Peter, right? Amen? Anybody? Okay, thank you. America, thank you. this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Listen carefully as we read it and look at it, if you would please, if you would please. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. I got goosebumps, folks. That's just an incredible statement. And I'll tell you, a whole bunch of this sharing that I did 2 years ago in Ireland was based on this very thing, that the light shines in a dark place. It all started with that. In the beginning, things were without form and void and all of this kind of stuff. Then God says, let there be light. But this is saying it shines in a dark place until that shining in enlightens you to, can I say it like this? Enlightens you to this dark situation of being thrown into a fiery furnace and not knowing what to do and being falsely accused and going all crazy because this is unfair and this shouldn't have happened and I've done good things for the Lord and, all this ranting and raving, when in reality these three Hebrew children, they just went in and Jesus showed up and the day dawn and the day star arose in that situation. And for them, that was a new heaven and a new earth. Everything was going to be new after that. So, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So Peter is going, we need this fire.
That's right.
We need the light of it.
Yes,
even. All right. So still in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and we'll read verse 10 through 13. I'm reading 2 Peter, it looks like I'm reading verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Sorry, what?
That's the verse you just read.
2 Peter 1:19. Yeah, should I read it again? Should I try to read it over my shoulder this time? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What? Whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. This is saying that these dark places, that these fiery furnaces, that these situations that like Moses is going through, where he has to run for his life and he's living in the wilderness now for another 40 years. We're supposed to see the I Am. We're supposed to see the God of a new heaven and a new earth. We're supposed to see a different God than the image that everybody's worshiping. That's not effectual. That's why we always cry now. That's not why we're always going, this is wrong, or, you know, you this and that, and just, you know. I mean, even those three guys, before they got thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, we will not worship thee, but if we do, we know God can deliver us. But God didn't, because he wanted a new day, a new star to arise in their heart, a new understanding that this fiery furnace, this fiery bush, that you can be there and not only not be destroyed or be delivered, but come into a whole new realm, a new heaven, a new earth, a new understanding of how to live, how to think, how to proceed, how to glorify God more, much more than, you know, well, you know, God can deliver us, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he can deliver us. And probably assuming that he would. But he didn't deliver them. He got into the fire with them. And when he was in the fire, they weren't destroyed. They weren't destroyed. I am the God of your fathers, he's saying. And you, like I said, it's kind of like Naaman when the guy came to get healed, and he asked, I think it was Elisha, and he said, well, go wash in the Jordan. He said, well, we've got better rivers in Syria. They're cleaner and everything else. If you had said, clap your hands over your head, then that would have encouraged me. And his servant comes to this great Syrian captain of all the armies of Syria and says, look, you came all this far. Why don't you try a new heaven and a new earth? Why don't you just try it? Nothing else has worked. So he goes, all right, but I won't like it. You know. Comes up clean. We need a new mind, a new way to see. We need to understand who our God is and the way that he is. We need to understand fire and light. And it starts with the book of Revelation, the first few verses. And like I said, 2 years ago in Ireland, that's how I started. That's what I started with and said, okay, now there is a great mystery in this and we need to see it, but I'm not going to explain it to you. And I didn't explain it to him and I wouldn't explain it to him. And, you know, and as I said, I mean, I heard different people explaining it to other people and I'm like, that ain't it, you know. That's not it. My hope is that we just say, I don't know. I mean, couldn't we just do that? No, well, no, I know too much. I can't say I don't know. I know too much. But just to say, you know, Lord, I don't know. I just want to have a broken and contrite heart and spirit before you. Because I know you won't despise that. I know you won't. He'll take you up. But the other way is, well, I'm going to take all that I know and I'm going to, you know, just like these magnets right here, you know, if I could put them all over here, let's see, this one will go over here and this one that and there right here. And that doesn't explain anything when you're in the fire. The fiery furnace, seven times hotter. Seven times hotter? Come on. None of us Well, God intentionally let it be seven times hotter. You know? And then the Lord appears. Seven times hotter. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. There's the Lord. There's the Lord. This is the new heaven. This is the new earth. We are entering uncharted ground. But if we will just humble ourselves. So well, he's saying the same thing the last one said, though, and unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and day star rise in your heart. Okay, so that's who? Who is that? That's Jesus. So then he says, and this is 2 Peter chapter 3 now. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. And we'll read 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, meaning nobody's got it figured out. Okay, well, let's take it out of the context of Jesus coming back in the sky. Let's put it in the context of really knowing him the way that he wants to be known. Will come as a thief in the night. It's intentionally going to do that. Okay? In the which the heavens shall pass away and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All right? So we read that. And we go, oh no, oh no, that's going to be bad. You know, I mean, I thought it was hot here in Texas. That's going to be bad. You know, no, and there is no warning, because there has to be something else going on. It's not warning time per se. It's finding the Lord with a pure heart. So he says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Okay, so anybody maybe have any questions about where you're at? But there's more. There's more. Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. This isn't the day of the Lord Jesus. This is the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, are you glad there's a nevertheless and a we? Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. According to his promise, we, in other words, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay, so I know that we're all looking at that and going, oh good, there's a get out of jail card. You know, there's a card up my sleeve. All this stuff's going to burn up, but then he's going to get me out of it. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's not just telling you, and it's not his way anyway. He's not looking at the physical stuff that's going to go on and then going to give you a physical answer to it. He's wanting the day dawn and the day to arise in your heart. He's wanting the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to already be shining, or he wants you looking for it. Looking for what? A new heaven and a new earth. Well, what does that mean? If anybody knows, don't tell everybody. Let's look for it. Let's do what the scripture says. He didn't spell it all out after that. Let's see the three Hebrew children, they weren't prepared in the sense of that. I mean, seven times hotter and then God didn't deliver them, but all of a sudden he appears, and all of a sudden it's more than they could have asked for. It wasn't just deliverance. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. They got Jesus, but they got the way that he is in the burning bush, if you will. They found that this is his way, and we're not going to be destroyed because this fire is part of basically who he is. But the reality behind this fire is that you won't be destroyed. Okay, we're talking spiritually now. Again, it's terrible to have to read an end time thing, or at least what we would assume is the end time, and then keep going back there, and then you go, no, it's going to be, and then you're back over here again, end time, you know, and he's going to save me, and then no, we're going to really seek the Lord. We're going to really go after him to know him in these kind of situations so that any fiery furnace can come along. Any situation can come along, and we can be with this Lord because it'll be his fire. It's as if we make it into his fire. By trusting him, by looking unto him, by longing, more of Jesus, less of me. So, is that 5 minutes? Okay. All right, so I'll just read this, and then I'm going to do a little different thing. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Meaning, when it says try you, it means he is wanting gold to come out. He's wanting the fire to purify the gold, which is always representative of God, as though some strange thing happened to you. Man, did we pour over 1 Peter over and over and over and over. And this is it's still the same book, by the way. If you read it, it's gonna say the same thing. It's pretty cool. All right. So I wanted Kelly, she was reading some scriptures, and I want her to come up here. And I don't know how long we'll go because we got a short amount of time. But I want you to read those scriptures, and then I want you to stop if I say stop. Yeah. And I want to comment.
So we're in Isaiah, if you want to follow along, chapter 24. And I'm just going to start at the first verse and just read. Isaiah chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish.
Okay, let me just is talking about all this languishing and all this stuff that's going to fade away. It's going to fade away one way or the other. It's going to either fade away because it's useless. It's like the tares, if you will. Or it's going to fade away because we are knowing him. The day dawn is arising in our heart. We're not afraid of the fire, and we're not always trying to get the fire to go away. We want to be with him so that he shows up. All right.
Verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth.
Okay, well, let me just stop right there. Changed the laws, changed all of this. You know, there is that which God did in Genesis, and it set everything in motion based on God, based on him. All of that came about as a result of him. So you could even say that the world of done, that meaning that which is finished in him, but finished in us too, because we became his body, is we've changed the laws. Where, you know, you still have to work for it. And it's not a work. It's never been a work. It's never been. It's a gift. And it is by grace. Yes, there are heart movements. There are things that the scriptures say will happen. You know, because I talk to people all the time, and they're worried about, you know, well, how am I going to get there? And I've just got this same problem going off in my head all the time. And I don't, They're not at rest, and God is not at rest in them. They're worried. They're freaking out. They're on a treadmill, and they can't get off that treadmill because they're looking at their own failures, you know? And we've all failed. We all do fail. We all come short of the glory of God. So he put Jesus in us. So very difficult to do. What we're supposed to do is believe that if he's in us and we're trusting that our faith is him, that he's going to eventually, like a garden, bring forth flowers and leaves and beauty and all of this stuff. And we're not faking ourselves out. We are saying, you know, Paul even said something like that in Corinthians. You know, we are his garden, I forget the right word that he used there, but cultivated field. And Jesus, the parable of the sower. Okay. But there are, if we change the laws, it can never come to pass. Okay. Are you back there?
Sure. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned.
Fire.
There you go. Therefore.
They're burned instead of not destroyed.
That's so good. And few men are left. The new wine mourneth. The vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea.
Here it is right here. It's one or the other. It's either desolation because we've changed the laws, not you know, the speed limit and all that stuff, but we've, you know, his, the way that he set it up, the way that it's, he wanted it. And the way that he wanted it is number one on the hit parade, on the your list of songs is, we wanted to make you in our image. And he wept over Jerusalem when he said, I would have gathered you, but you would not. Okay, so this isn't God going crazy and upset with everybody. This is us getting off the track. Do you believe that if you get off the track and then you get back on the track that he wants, that he's not going to go, well, you got off once, so forget it. Or, well, you got off a million times, so forget it. No, he's not. He's going to receive you like the prodigal son. So this is going back and forth to either, you know, those who left the way that he set it out, and or those that are coming back to it. All right. I think it was that.
That's a good one, yeah.
But I could be wrong.
They shall lift up, they shall sing for majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud in the sea. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires.
Whoa!
Woohoo!
Hold up there, Skipper. Glorify the Lord in the fires?
Yeah. Woo, that's it.
Well, where did that come from? It came from, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I am a burning bush that is not destroyed. Or I am the Son of God in the furnace with all of you, and you're not destroyed. Or I went to the cross, and I died with all of you, and you're not destroyed. So glorify God in the fire.
Even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea, for the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously.
You see that? That's being in the fire and not being with the Lord. That's complaining about the fire. You know, and well, Lord, why did you let them do that? Or why am I in the fire? Why? All this kind of stuff, and get me out of here instead of, I want to be with you in the fire. And I want a new heaven and a new earth to show up. And that's what all this will start talking about.
Fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly.
That's all talking about the way God originally made it. And it's not that way anymore. We've set it out of its course. We have changed the laws. We have not received what he says and the way that he says to do it. And the way that he says do it is, when the fire comes, glorify me. When the fire comes, glorify me. Be with me and I'll show up. Be with me and I'll show up. Be with me and I'll show up. And then you'll have me more than you ever had me before.
Yes.
Um,
In that, and it shall come to, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. It shall fall and not rise again, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in a pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously.
Is that the end of
24?
All right, we'll stop.
Okay.
But it'd probably be good to read, you know, in your own reading, reread that, and then also 25 and 26. And it probably goes all the way to the, you know. Right. It's the last verse in Revelation, you know.